Welcome to Enneagram with JB, a podcast about Enneagram personalities, where you'll uncover and discover more about yourself and others through the helpful tool of the Enneagram. I'm your host, Julie Underwood.
Hey, Kelly.
Hello.
I love it when we get to talk. Like, this is so fun. It's not always fun topics, right? But it's always, I don't know. I love being able to be in the same space. I want to say room, but we're not. You guys were all over, you know, cameras. So that's why I say same space, sharing our thoughts and stuff about some similar topics that we both encounter and what we do. So let's jump in. And I want to ask you a question that I'm just curious about in your practice. So what is one thing that you see holding people back from self-awareness and growth in the practice that you do with people?
My short answer is people really want shortcuts to healing. They want that. Obviously, we all, if we could take a pill, if we could read a book, listen to a podcast, if we could, you know, just sort of follow a formula, wouldn't we all do that? Of course we want that. That's much more comfortable. That's much less risky, you know, if you think about emotional risk. But here's the thing that I have seen time and time and time again, even as a therapist training other therapists. This is what I want everybody to know, is that lasting change has to be experiential. No amount of understanding, insight, you know, just cognitive amazingness is going to supplement experiential change. We're looking for corrective emotional experiences. You know, it makes sense that people don't want to actually feel what they're talking about. I mean, I can include myself in this, okay? It's not like anybody just goes, yes, let me feel scared and sad and lonely and, you know, any of those kind of core maybe emotions. But in order to have a corrective emotional experience, you have to move in and through those emotions. But this time, not alone. That's the difference. That's what makes the difference. Usually, whatever it is that's stuck, you know, maybe from your past, the good reason that you don't go there anymore, and I'm not just talking about a memory, I'm talking about a felt sense, is because it was too much. You probably were alone. You know, even if you're in relationship, you were like, there was nobody to actually respond in a way that would be comforting. And so you've got to feel what you're talking about, and this time with a safe other. And I think just, I mean, even as I'm saying this, if you're taking notes right now, that's not going to make a difference. You can be excited about what I'm saying, but I'm telling you, like, the actual going there is the only thing. And this is, I mean, I can quote you research. I can tell you, like, this is not just me speaking anecdotally.
I 100% agree with you. So it's the experiential side, helping people to get into the story of their life, right? And the different modalities that you take. I'm going to ask you some questions about that in a little bit, but like some different modalities, like how do we do this? But it is, human beings are created for connection. You and I both agree with that statement, right? We also both agree that you heal in community. You need another person, or you need a community of people, trusted people, safe people that you can do this work with. And that takes time sometimes to find that, but on the healing journey that you're talking about, right? The field heal, you've known me for a long time. So doing my own work in this particular area as an Enneagram 7, I wanted nothing to do with the feelings side of anything. Like really, like, I didn't want to have to go back to those places and experience pain from childhood or pain from just situations that happened throughout my life. And it wasn't until I could actually do that work that I found freedom, and I found my voice, and I found like me. I found the confidence to be able to walk boldly into the rooms that I'm in. But for a long time, there were parts of me that were just dismissed or quieted or neglected because there were things that happened along the way that I lost the ability to move towards myself. And I couldn't figure out how to heal. It didn't matter what book I read. It didn't matter what scripture you read or what I prayed. You know what I mean? All the things. The healing didn't happen like that. Like I needed help in the healing. And so it was through therapy and it was through community and it was through connection with my husband where a lot of healing happened. So I 100% agree with you that it's not enough to read a book. It's not enough to listen to a podcast. You've got to do the work.
You have to do the work. And what work means, that's what we're talking about, right? The experiential work. I think there are plenty of people who come to my office and they are very willing to, they would read a million books. They would, like if I gave homework, they would literally do anything, everything, right? Like the desire to feel connected to yourself and others and to feel free and to come back to you. Like, I love how you're saying that, Jackie. I think that's really what we're talking about is coming home to your most pure self, right? Like the essence of who you are. And anyway, so that, yeah, we're all happy to like work hard, but it's a different kind of work. It's more like a letting go. And there's a risk. There's an emotional risk that happens. I think it really is a paradigm shift. Honestly, when I have clients come in and even if I take them through an experiential intervention, let's say, where I'm really like guiding them to a felt sense, right? What is it like on the inside? You know, maybe as you say this and you can see this in your mind's eye, you know, maybe how does it feel in your body? Like, can we stay there? Like, these are the things that experiential therapists say.
Yeah. It's right. Like, it's somatic work. Yeah.
It's somatic, which means the body, it's emotion. It's with a safe other. So I'm there, you know, hopefully they're safe. Like the client feels really safe and secure with me. Like all these things have to be in place. And so what's interesting though, is I will take someone through, you know, in and through, right? Maybe a difficult emotion. But coming to the other side, obviously there's relief, there's clarity, there's understanding, there's all kinds of wonderful things that happen on the other side of that tunnel of emotion. But what's so funny is how quickly clients will look at me and say, now what? What do I do with that? What should I do when I go home? How do I apply that practically? And I really have such compassion for that. You know, I get it. It's like, but here's the thing that makes me curious, right? Is obviously that's human. There's a human sort of, we're not totally patient, right? Like when we feel in distress, we do want to sort of fast forward to when we just feel better. And so even if we get a little bit of relief, we're wanting to know, how can I replicate that? Like, give me the formula. Okay, that felt good. Now give me the formula. You know, and I'm just wondering, like, this feels bigger than even the human condition. This feels like a cultural issue. Everything is at your tips. Everything is, if you get bored, move on to the next whatever. Like, you have millions of options. Like, our attention span is so short. And I know everybody knows this. We all know this big problem, right? But it's getting in the way. If your expectation for therapy is similar to your expectation for your Netflix channel or whatever.
No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't. That, so I always, you know, I do coaching, you do therapy. It's not the same thing. But there's similarities to some of the stuff that we do. And so, around modalities and things like that, even, and I trained on the experientials, trained on the experiential side of stuff too, helping people get into the story is part of what I do as well in coaching. And so part of that, people often ask me like, how long is this work going to take? And I just say, listen, the work of awareness is the rest of your life. Okay. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to become aware of ourselves and our own story, the role we play in our own life. And it is going to be the rest of your life that you, if you want to stay open and curious, you're going to experience yourself in new ways for the rest of your life. Okay. But I oftentimes say like, we're going to start something. And when we start it, we're just introducing it as we talk about it in our session. And then over the next 3 months, you're going to encounter this situation. And you might be in the first couple of times, it might be after you walked through it and you're like, oh my gosh, I just did that thing again, that pattern again. And then maybe, you know, the next 3 times you're going to be in the middle of the pattern and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm doing it. Oh no, you know? And then around 6 months to a year, literally six months to a year, you might be able to recognize I'm moving towards that. Oh gosh, I don't think I want to do that anymore. But it doesn't happen after one time. It doesn't happen after 3 times. Most of the time it is, and it only actually happens if you are willing to continue to stay awake to the work. So if we just go to these sessions, therapy sessions or coaching sessions, we take our notes, we close the book and we keep going on with life, but we never reflect on the work we just did, it's not going to work. Nothing will change. Nothing will change. And the only person that can change you is you. The only person. You are the only person that actually has the power to change you. And that sometimes is really painful, really hard. For me, really, really hard when it was like, you have choices. And I was like, I don't feel like I have choices. And then, no, I do have choices. I just don't always like the choices that are presented in front of me. I oftentimes say information is not transformation until you activate it. So like you're saying, like all the books that we read, all the podcasts that we listen to, we can become really heady, right? We can become full of knowledge and we can spout off all the things. We know all the things, but then our lives may not represent any real actual change, because I believe that the transformation that you're talking about is a heart transformation. It's not a head transformation. So how do we get this information that we're learning into the heart? And I hear you say it's by practice. It's by moving towards the feelings. You have to feel it to heal it. You have to name it to tame it. These are all things I've probably heard you say through time too, but it's all these, the movement towards and then through.
Yeah. And when you were talking about taking the work beyond the session, it made me think about maybe another thing that holds us back, and I'm kind of thinking more systemically, Jackie, because I'm looking at, you know, my, I don't know, 20 years of experience and like looking at it from almost like a bird's eye view, like what have I noticed? And I think the people who do really well are very engaged in the process. And it becomes more like a partnership or a collaboration between the therapist and the client. So it's like we're working together, right? It's not like a passive, right? Like I'm just sitting back and you waiting, you know, for you to say the magic thing or tell me what to do. It's a real engaged together process. And I think clients that, are just, I have compassion. Like some people, they just are in such crisis that it's hard to, like, there's not a lot of energy, right? And so maybe that's a different kind of work. Does that make sense? But then, like, I think the work that we're talking about, where, okay, let's say you're at least stabilized and you're really ready for this maybe deeper, lasting change. Like life kind of altering, like I want to be experience myself differently in the world.
Yeah, there's a security to your base.
A little bit, like just a little more than, yeah.
Yeah, there's just something there. Yeah, that's the type of work we're talking about. So this is not crisis. You know, this is not in the middle of crisis. It just doesn't look the same. You know, if you're in counseling in the middle of a crisis situation or traumatic experience or anything like that, it doesn't look the same as far as what we're talking about today is for self-awareness and growth. This is more of the curiosity around who am I? Why do I do what I do? Why do I keep doing the things that are hurting me or hurting other people? It's more of that space that we're talking about today. So that was really good. Yeah, I think that's good to clarify too, because in crisis, you know, a good therapist, they have to, I think, help kind of bring things down to even get to a place that you can even be able to engage, you know, in crisis, like you're so heightened. So that's not the work that we're talking about. So this is more just the growth and self-awareness in a somewhat stable, you know, we're all a little, you know, I don't know, we're all a little hanging on by a thread over here, but in the work that you do, and in some of the new work that you do, I'm going to ask you that towards the end too, some of the new work that you're doing, I'm so excited to talk about that, but what are a few, prompts that you would suggest for people interested in learning more about themselves? Like, is there a couple things that you're like, if you're curious about doing this work, and you're not necessarily ready to work with a therapist or a coach, but you're hearing this and you are curious around self-awareness and growth, do you have a couple prompts or ideas that could start the curiosity or spark that conversation within themselves?
A couple things that are coming to my mind, and this would be like things that you are wondering or noticing about yourself. And depending on kind of how you answer these questions, maybe helps you with taking the next step. That's kind of how I'm hearing this. One thing that I think is really helpful for people to notice is if you feel like no matter how much you sort of really want to change your behaviors or your thought patterns, if you feel like no matter how many good intentions you have or how much you maybe, you know, in different like non-therapy ways try, right? Or maybe even therapy that is more problem solving or kind of skill building or cognitive. If you just feel like I am stuck, like if you're wondering if there's more, then like, here I am sort of like, if I read my journal and I read what I'm writing about, and it sure sounds a lot like what I said 10 years ago or 5 years ago, like I would pause there. I would really kind of like, are you okay with that? Am I okay with that? Am I okay with just sort of circling the same drain, you know? And I think for some people, it's like, yes, I am. It's not bad enough. I am okay with it. Like I'm not nobody, like we're surviving here. Maybe we're even doing well in some areas like work or something like that. But if you just feel like you keep bumping up against the same sort of patterns, right? Where you always do this thing, react in this way, and you have this negative sort of thoughts about yourself, and like you just can't get out of that rut. I don't know if that's like a simple prompt, but if you're noticing negative patterns of behavior and thoughts that you feel like you've been in for a long time, you know, maybe ask yourself, am I really okay with that?
That is a good one. So it's that awareness. You're starting to ask yourself the questions, and you're starting to see, like, you're reflecting on, like, am I still in the same place I have been for how many years? So I hear that. I think that's a great prompting around, do I need another step? Do I need to take a next step? And then what next step should I take? You know, there's lots of options out there.
Okay. And then my next prompt is maybe a bit more emotional, but let's say that you get triggered and it is a really familiar feeling. Like, you know exactly what it feels like in your body. You even know sort of what it sounds like in your head. The prompt would be, if you could go back into that moment and pause and kind of try to remember right between the trigger and whatever you did next, that space in between the stimulus and response, if you can stay there and what it feels like in your body, and then ask yourself, is there a younger me that felt this? And that is what maybe you need to go to therapy for.
That, my friends, that is inner child work. And that is beautiful work.
And there's so many ways to do it. It's beautiful work. The past shows up in the present. Memory is laid down in emotion. It's true. It's not even chronological. Emotion does not even know chronology. Emotion has no idea if you're 7, 17, or 57. Like, emotion doesn't know. And so you're reacting from a very tender, vulnerable part of you that you might not even have access to, because it happens so fast. That stimulus and response that I was describing is nanoseconds.
That I do through the Enneagram, I do a lot of this type of work, because we go back with the tool of the Enneagram. It helps guide us into parts of ourselves that we just are not aware that we're functioning from. How would we know? We wouldn't know. We would not know. And part of the healing that I've seen in my own story, I've watched in my husband's story, and I've watched in a lot of people that I work with, a lot of the healing does happen from this, what you're talking about. It's like, it's not in the moment. It's actually past experiences that we're feeling again. It's triggering something. And I have these little dogs that I use for this, if this was video, I would show you, but it's not. But there's like a big dog, and then there's a little dog, and the little dog has costumes that it can put on. And so we talk about, like, you know, what costume best represents what you're, you know, when you look back at that little you, what this looks like. And so just helping people experience part of their story or themselves through part of their story. So the Enneagram is a great tool. Kelly's got lots of great tools to help you guys on the therapy side of this type, and a lot of other therapists do too. And I think let's talk about this for a second, because I don't think we've talked about this. I was talking about this with some people this week, but not every therapist practices the same modalities.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not a one size fits all when it comes to therapy and what you need and the type of therapy that you need. So it's kind of like you got to do a little bit of homework to know what you need and then also what the therapists offer. And so it's tricky. It's not as easy as let me go through the phone book, find somebody, go to them, and I'm going to have this revolutionary experience. It doesn't really work like that. So will you just speak to that just for a couple minutes for our audience to know, like, hearing from a therapist, there's lots of modalities out there. There's lots more training that people get, right?
Absolutely. And I think this is one of the things that bothers me about the field is how hard clients have to work. Even like I know that clients try on a therapist and a modality, and it might be like, okay, you're fine. And then they, you know, spend weeks, months, maybe thousands of dollars, and they kind of aren't really getting results. And so now you're back to the drawing board, but guess what? What you originally went into therapy for maybe hasn't really changed that much. And so now you're frustrated, you're tired. And now you have to do the work of finding, like, doing the research of what modality you want. And I mean, it's just exhausting, and I just, I hate it. It almost, like, this conversation inspires me to do like a cheat sheet for clients.
Oh my gosh, can you please? Yes.
Like here's the modalities. Here's what it means in layman's terms. You know, here are the directories to find therapists that are trained in that modality. I'll say this. I think if I were you, listeners, looking for a therapist, if you find a modality that resonates with you, I am trained in emotionally focused therapy. EFT works with couples, individuals, and families. Most people don't know that. They think it's just a couples modality, but actually it's works across the context. And if you really, like, let's say that you read Love Science or Hold Me Tight or one of those books that Sue Johnson, the founder of EFT, wrote, and now you're going, this resonates with me. Like, I want to find an EFT therapist. So I'm just using EFT as an example because it's what I do, but like plug in whatever modality you're thinking of, IFS, somatic experiencing. I mean, there's just like so many, right? So let's say you've honed it down, but now you're trying to find a therapist. My suggestion is go to their website. Does the language and the messaging on their website match what you feel like you understand that modality to be? So that's one you want to, because there are therapists who will get trained in 17 things and get certified in all of them because they're just not actually really doing any one thing. They're kind of flip-flopping between a bunch of different things, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you want really focused work and you like a modality a lot, my suggestion is find somebody who is, you know, doing no more than two and has really gone the extra mile to get trained in that. That is going to be a really good experience because now we've got a match. We've got a therapist who believes in that modality so much so that they built their career around it, right? And then we've got a client who is already kind of bought in to this way of seeing the world, seeing change. So, and that is hard to find. It is hard to find.
That is that partnership that you're talking about, though. The difference between somebody coming in with no clue, no idea, right? And you're just like, fix me, right? A lot of people go into therapy. A lot of us do, you know, like, I don't know, I'm broken, just fix me. I have no idea. But when you go in a little bit more aware of what you're looking for and you match with a therapist that offers what you're looking for, then I do think things can click. Now, you might be listening to us and think like, we don't even understand modalities or anything. It's just the different ways that people help you to get into your story. And there's lots of training and different ways that they can do that. But let's talk about your favorite modality. Like what is, I know you use EFT. I think that, I don't know if that's your favorite.
Really have to ask. Of course it is.
Well, I hear some other things coming up. I'm like, oh, I hear you somatic. I hear a little of that. I hear a little inner child stuff coming up.
Yes, I think EFT includes somatic work. And so I still see EFT as my foundational model.
I love it too. I have to say it's one of my favorite. Mm-hmm.
It's really all I do. I have been dabbling in emotionally focused individual therapy. And oh my gosh.
More than dabble. Let's say it's a little bit more than dabbling. Like you have got some exciting.
Yeah. Full extensive training. Yeah. More than dabbled. You're right. But yeah, it's like my newest passion, really. I'm excited about it. I'm also, my husband and I are both starting our own, it's called EFIT. So emotionally focused individual therapy. We're starting our own EFIT therapy. So we're just like swimming in it. We're doing it ourselves. I'm providing it. I'm supervising other therapists doing it. We're just sort of like all in it.
I love it. I believe in it. I believe in the work that you're doing. And I think that it's, you know, the offering around self-awareness and growth through the work that I do with Enneagram. And then the offering around, it is self-awareness, growth, healing. There's so many layers to what you do on the therapy side of it. But I think both of our hearts for people are like, it's healthy, healed, whole humans. Like, how do we do this? And it's not like a one and done. I don't think either one of us believe that. I think both of us probably believe it's a lifetime of working through and, you know, experiencing parts of yourself that you didn't even know were in there along the way. But tell me a little bit about what is stirring you in the passion around the individual side, because you've done couples forever. So this individual piece, like, what is something about it that you're like, this makes me excited?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's so practical, honestly. Like, I just started the training, which I did this really, really extensive training. And before the training, you know, what I heard was, if you do EFT for couples, it translates really easily. You're not going to have a hard time learning how to do this with individuals. So, you know, I was like, all right, this will be, I'll just like do this easy peasy training, and then I will be able to support my therapist on my team and supervision. And I mean, that's really how it started. Okay. Well, my gosh, I get into this training, and one of the exercises, I wasn't even planning to share this, Jackie, but one of the exercises, just so that you can kind of experience what they're doing, what you would be doing for clients, you have to put yourself in the client seat a little bit, right? So one of the exercises, I did exactly what I walked you through earlier, the inner child prompt, right? So I imagined a recent trigger. I could see myself. I could see what happened. I could feel how it felt. And then what I do, what my action tendency or my protective mood. I could see that all plain as day, okay? Then the prompt was, and it was a little different than what I described earlier, but it was, now bring in an attachment figure from your past. So for me, it's my mom. And she, you know, she's so, just seeing her face in my mind's eye and the way that she looks and looked at me, immediate tears. I was like crying. I was just so blown away by the level of comfort. I texted her like later that day, and I was like, I love you. I'm so grateful for you. How are you doing? And she was like, well, the weather is da-da-da. And I was like, you don't even know. But it blew me away, because I think it's that experience of imagining her. And it did bring me back to the foundation of me, right? So me as younger, because in my memory, it's not like when I think of her, I'm probably like my first image, you know, in time of need, is from when she took care of me, when she was there for me, when she, you know, like, I mean, she was wonderful. Like when we were sick, stuff like that. Like she was just, and she is. But, you know, obviously as an adult, it's a little bit different, but that's kind of the felt sense. And so what I'm trying to say is the power of attachment. It's like I got a new understanding of that. It gave me freedom with my kids. I'm like, it's good enough. Does that make sense? Like I started to even believe more in the good enough parent thing that you hear. I was like, oh no, that's true. Because it just felt so powerful. So that moment, was very inspiring. And then just the training itself was inspiring. And so, you know, obviously you've got clients that come in. I have a pretty secure base from my childhood. A lot of our clients don't. And that is part of the work, is resourcing that client to build some of that security so that you can go back in those, you know, more difficult memories maybe and moments and emotions. But first building the scaffolding. And so that might be, you know, the therapist as like a surrogate attachment figure. You know, it might be that maybe a parent wasn't your safe haven, secure base, but you did have somebody, right? Or like some experiences that represent what it felt like to be confident in the world. You know, like we all have pockets of that, and we can use those images and memories and what it feels like to help in the work. So it's, and that, you know, I'm saying all this, and what I want, I know that as you're listening, it's like, it sounds good, but it's also, you have to experience it. That's the thing. Like I knew about EFIT, but once I had that experience, it was such a motivator. I mean, it's just, and now that I'm doing it with clients and I'm seeing them come home to themselves, it's like, oh, it's so powerful.
On the experiential side of my training, everything that I would do with clients, I had to go through myself. So we had to do it with other people, you know, and it's like super intense. You don't know any of these people. And most of them are therapists. There's like a couple of us that are coaches. So then that's just intimidating anyways. But, you know, because I'm like, I'm not quite as qualified as you. But on what I do, you know, how I use it. But it was those pieces of like when I had to experience what I was going to ask somebody else to do, it changes that. Like as a therapist or a coach or somebody that holds space for people in this healing space, I think when you have done the work first, it changes how we're able to hold space for other people to do the work. We know what we're asking our people to do. We know it. And we know if we should or we shouldn't. We have a pretty good gauge, I think, of like, hopefully, you know, where our clients are, where they are, and then at what level, you know, like how do you walk people towards the work that they're asking for. And so I'm so thankful for all the work that you do. I really am. I'm thankful that I get to learn from you. I'm thankful that I get to watch you flourish and do all these amazing things. I am in awe of what you're doing. And I believe in the work that you're doing, and I believe in you doing the work, like watching you do work, just with people. It's beautiful. So, okay. So you've launched the intensive, the individual intensives.
I mean, it's not really out there anywhere, but yes. For those of you, if you go to Red Therapy Group, you can ask. We don't even have it on the website yet. But yes, there are actually three of us doing individual intensives, EFIT intensives. It's just like people are just word of mouth right now.
So you guys heard it first here. So if you guys are interested, redtherapygroup.com, and you can find out more information about that. But Kelly, leave us with a piece of hope. Give us a piece of hope that we can take into the week and just hold on to.
Yeah. That's easy for me to do. There's so much hope. If you're listening to this podcast, that means that you are interested in healing and growth for yourself. And if you could pause and notice yourself right now and notice how powerful it is to take initiative to even find a podcast and be interested and engaged, you're already doing it. You're already doing it.
So you're already doing the work. Even if you didn't know it, you're already doing the work. So thank you so much for being with us. And again, just tell everybody where they can find you on socials and website and anything else that you want people to know right now.
Yeah, I think the best way is really Red Therapy Group. So red, like the color of my hair, therapygroup.com. I think you know, just kind of have fun browsing that. I think you can find me and our socials and just kind of our latest offerings on that site.
Well, we look forward to talking to you next month. Thanks so much for being with us.
And thank you for joining us today. Join us next time as we continue our conversation about the Enneagram and what it means for your relationships. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single episode. And while you're there, we'd love for you to leave a review. Your kind words help others find the show. For more great Enneagram content, resources, and individual coaching, you can visit enneagramwithjb.com. We'll see you next time on Enneagram with JB.